A newcomer took a seat in one of the pews at a Unitarian Universalist church, one that will remain unnamed. When the minister began preaching about liberal theology, the newcomer became more and more enthusiastic. When the preacher definitively proved the use of reason as essential to religion, the newcomer finally shouted, "Amen." There was a longtime member of the church in the next pew who leaned over and glared at the newcomer. "In this church, we do not shout amen during the sermon," hissed that longtime member. The newcomer, looking flustered, said, "But I've got religion." "Well," hissed that longtime member, "you did not get it here." So I offer this story today as an illustration for why we begin a six-part series exploring those who identify both as Unitarian Universalists and as some other religious identity, such as Buddhist or Jewish, humanist, Hindu, and so on. The idea that Unitarian Universalism itself is even qualifies as a religion can be a perplexing one, topic worthy of its own sermon. And that there would be Unitarian Universalists who also identify with other religions can be hard to grasp. So we begin today with the intersection of Christianity and Unitarian Universalism. And we start with Christianity for one major reason. It's the one that many Unitarian Universalists have the most personal baggage about. A minister on the West Coast, I know, who shall remain nameless as well, also said she used to preach only one Jesus sermon a year, and she'd always call up the same group of eight congregants to remind them to go to breakfast together that morning, knowing that they would be boycotting the service that day. And then meanwhile, you've got Boston's King's Chapel, a Unitarian Universalist congregation where traditional bread and wine communion takes place every Wednesday evening and the first Sunday of the month. So we are a complicated faith tradition when it comes to Christianity. And there's good reason for that, I think. When anything becomes too dominant in society, then it becomes something requiring serious critique. Just as there's nothing wrong inherently with being a man, there is something that becomes wrong when too much collective maleness emerges as an oppressive force called patriarchy. So too is there nothing inherently wrong with Christianity, but it is in its dominance and in the movement away from its central tenets of kindness and compassion that it has often become a force for oppression and destruction rather than one for good. So it's no wonder that some people come to our UU congregations away from Christianity and they want to leave it all behind. They're allergic to the rituals and ways of Christian church, those old hymns, religious terminology like reverend and prayer, and even the word church itself. But there are others who also come to Unitarian Universalist congregations from Christianity not prepared to leave it all behind, who want to reconcile their still strong sense of Christian ethics with a liberal view of religion that includes theological diversity. Reverend Stephen Kendrick tells it like this: "I became a Unitarian Universalist because I would have made a very bad and quarrelsome Christian, but a pretty good religious liberal. This faith seems to claim the religious freedom that Jesus proclaimed and modeled, the divine love that lives inside each of us. This sort of love requires a tradition of openness, tolerance, freedom, and radical compassion. I became a UU precisely because I wanted to understand Jesus properly." Unitarian Universalist Christians like Kendrick continue to wrestle with Christianity and all its gifts and issues. UU Rebecca Parker and Rita Nakashima Brock wrote a book together called Proverbs of Ashes, really powerful book. And it explores the focus of some Christian churches on the destructively sacrificial nature of the faith. The idea that Jesus' gruesome and violent death was ordained by God translates for some practitioners, especially those who hold less power, women, historically, other marginalized folks, into an emphasis on self-sacrifice that can even lead to self-destruction. The authors write, "Jesus' death was not unique. It continues in the world, masked by the words virtuous suffering and self-sacrificing love. When systems trap us in violence, they betray us. Jesus has been betrayed by his own tradition. A military empire murdered him. His life and work were not furthered by his death. His execution ruptured his community and his work." And just think about that for a moment. What Nakashima and Parker are saying is that the fetishizing of violence in the Christianity story obscures the message of that Jewish rabbi, of helping one another, of love and kindness. You know, all the stuff we heard about in the Time for All Ages this morning. Instead, a culture of victimization has often been built upon a perversion of who and what Jesus was really about. Not death, but life. This worshiping, for lack of a better term, of violence and suffering and victimization represents a fundamental misunderstanding of the core of Christian philosophy and negatively feeds into many of the issues we face today. Now, in this country, we see alive and well many isms that, I don't know, 10 years ago would have surprised me with their current visibility. Racism, nationalism, sexism, all proudly on display and being heralded by people who usually claim a Christian identity to go with them. So I get it. We live in a time where it is easy to dismiss Christianity because of that. I argue, though, that, you know, just as we consider the atrocities done in the name of Islam, the religion in question actually has little direct responsibility for disturbing perspectives and acts. It's the culture. The culture that fuels the mindsets, supported, yes, in part by twisted, non-contextual and superficial understandings of religion. Well, people join ISIS not because of Islam, but because of the cultural milieu in which their ideas and perspectives have been shaped. People in the United States become white nationalists not because of evangelical churches, but because of the larger social world that shapes them. Now, naturally, then, some faith communities take on these negative cultural perspectives and even add fuel to the fire. But it is not, I contend, the religion itself that is to blame. Religion is but an imperfect tool humans use to make meaning of the world. Like any tool, we can use it properly or we can use it for destruction. Simply because the tool is imperfect does not mean it is without merit. Reverend John Lelew Johnstone, a UU minister who also identifies as a Christian, writes of getting back to the essentials of Christian philosophy. "It took me years of participating in and even leading UU congregations for me to rediscover the value of Jesus in my spiritual life," he writes. "I need to figure out my relationship with Christianity," I told my spiritual director. "No," the Episcopal Buddhist replied. "You need to figure out your relationship with Christ." Reclaiming Jesus reconnected me with other Christians, particularly those working for rights for BGLTIQ people. The misuse of scripture against queer people and against women troubled me, but I realized that only by owning those stories fully for myself could I honestly confront the oppression that worked against me and others who needed what the church had to offer. Jesus provides inspiration, example, and strategy for the work I'm called to do in the world. That's why I call myself Christian today. So that's what Reverend Johnstone says. And I do, too, think there is much that is life-affirming in the Christian scriptures. You know, as we consider the refugee crisis we face today, we can turn to one of the most famous passages found in the book of Matthew, where Jesus tells his followers, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me." And then they ask, "Well, when did we see you, a stranger, and welcome you?" And he replies, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Likewise, the Sermon on the Mount, the pinnacle of Jesus' teaching, deepens this reflection in saying that it is the moral character behind our decisions that is of utmost importance. It's not just about behavior, do's and don'ts, but who we are. Because that ethical compass informs our actions, an idea that still remains foundational in contemporary Unitarian Universalism, who we are. And yet, there's a lot in Christian scriptures that are potentially troubling, too. And the Gospels are products of their times. If you look for sexism, superstition, irrationality, you will find them. But if they are read in context, and if we acknowledge their limitations, we can also see their potentially healing gifts. Crystal Lewis writes, "When I examine interactions between Jesus and those whose lives he changed, I'm inspired by his commitment to healing the wounds of the heart and of his society. Jesus, for me, demonstrates healing and shows us the power of salvation, a power that we are to seek and share in this life as often as we can." So those old stories of internal and social healing have power in their mythic import. It's not that they're the best stories necessarily or the only stories, but the degree to which they have permeated the culture means they have a weight that new stories often can't or don't carry. This week we read more stories, right? More stories about yet another shooting, this time at a yoga studio. A reminder that we live in a deeply wounded culture marked by violence. Did you know that around 3 women per day are murdered by husbands and partners and boyfriends right here in the United States? Around 3 a day. So all these acts of violence, they're not the direct result of Christianity. But we do know that the recipe consisting of a certain brand of dominant Christian thought mixed with misogyny, patriarchy, xenophobia, etc., all that stuff comes together to contribute to violent acts like these and the devastating synagogue shooting that rocked our world not 2 weeks ago. And so it can be easy to blame religion in these situations in our world today, and especially Christianity here in the United States. Yet as Unitarian Universalist Christians remind us, this is a perversion of the Christianity at the core of the Gospels. This narrative of Christian violence does not tell the full story when we think of the many Christian people who are genuinely working for good in the world, and they're out there. I meet them all the time, folks. They're appalled at the violence and ignorance currently running rampant. And this is why I'm grateful for Unitarian Universalism, where some of these Christians can find a home. Some of them have found a home right here in this congregation and continue to live out lives dedicated to compassion and care. As a multi-faith religious community, that's what we are. We welcome in the whole selves of people, all their identities, including their multiple religious identities. You know, I myself can't deny how I've been shaped by various religious traditions. And what shaped me most? It's hard to say. Was it the church of my father's family, a small fundamentalist Christian church that didn't believe in professional medical care? I certainly had a response to that. Was it the chosen liberal Christian church of my childhood, headed by Reverend David Kaigiwata, a world leader in ecumenicalism who worked tirelessly for social justice? Was it the Jewish family of some of my other relatives who welcomed us into their homes and traditions, forever creating the connection for me between Judaism and hospitality? Was it the Buddhist faith of my 7th grade social studies teacher who opened up my mind to the possibilities of meditation? He actually had to sit on our desks and learn to meditate. I don't know if you can get away with that nowadays, right? Like so many of you, who and what I am has been shaped by many different kinds of religious engagement along the way, bringing me ultimately to Unitarian Universalism. And to this day, I must credit Christianity for my sense of ethics and compassion. And yes, as a reaction against the Christian churches I saw with their destructive theology, I also credit Christianity for my emphasis on reason and critical thinking. I wouldn't be who I am without both my good and bad experiences with Christianity.
and other religions.
And I expect many here feel the same. And so we have this place, a place that invites us to understand religion in ways that are rooted in the intellect, but also where we can still, I hope, still invite in mystery and inspiration. A place where someone can hold on to their religious identity of their childhood or their choosing, but also broaden their understanding of the commonalities at the core of all religions, those universal messages of caring and hope. A place where we can keep alive the best of what a religion like Christianity can be, even as we critique it at its worst. Because with 70% of Americans identifying as Christian, it's not going anywhere anytime soon. What I think we need is a revolution in Christianity. Liberal, progressive Christian communities that can welcome in people who might be seduced by houses of worship that pervert those original messages of Jesus' philosophy. And as Unitarian Universalists who by no means all identify as Christian, I don't think that revolution is primarily our job. That's the job of our liberal Christian friends. And some of them are actually doing a really good job at it. Look at the Christian churches out there who take the message of welcome the stranger and are offering sanctuary to immigrants in these contentious times and taking a great deal of risk in doing it. Here in this UU community, I think our work is to be a home for the most theologically liberal of those Christians. And again, some of you are in this room. The ones who want a place where they can freely hold on to some aspects of their faith, but worship in a community that is much broader in its scope. That is our job. And folks, we're it. The best option for those people, for the most part. There really isn't another community that can offer this theological freedom in the way that we can. And so this is our work, to keep remembering and welcoming the Christian-identified folks among us alongside all the other people who identify with other religious backgrounds, and to remember that these people specifically bring gifts of compassion and service to others that exemplify why Jesus' message remains a radical one all these years later, and certainly right now in this particular time we live in, and that we are called to welcome them in, to name our discomforts with Christianity and the places where it has been corrupted, but also to open our hearts to its responsible followers and the best of Christian philosophy, which reminds us to be open to compassion wherever we find it, to practice hospitality however we know it, and to care for one another now more than ever.